Well, thank you for joining this podcast, Meet the Leader. As all of you now know, my passion is local government and shining a light on how it works and the people that are behind the scenes making things happen that we rarely think about or we're grateful exist when we need them. And today is someone who is, for me, rather special, because when I think of leaders of county councils, I think of men, not women. And so, Lucy Naseng, thank you very much for joining me from Cambridgeshire County Council. Lucy, your career, this is a part of a serial democratic offender, because you've been at Gloucester City Council, you've been at Cambridge County Council before, you were at Cambridge City Council, you've been a member of the European Parliament in that sort of that period when suddenly everyone realised that we hadn't left Europe, and now you're the leader of a county, and a beautiful county. Tell me about Indeed. How did it start?
Well, I got involved in politics a very long time ago when I was quite young. And the first election I stood for is even precedes the Gloucester ones, and was in the town I grew up in Truro in Cornwall, where I stood for the parish council because someone encouraged me to. And they said that there weren't very many young people on it, and they were absolutely right. So I was by a very long way the youngest person on the parish council in Truro. And got very interested in local government and the influence that it has on places. The people who are involved can be extremely unrepresentative of the places that they represent. And I think that's improved over the 25 years or so since I first got involved, but it's still not great. So the people involved in local government are very substantially older and white and male.
They are indeed, but you've been breaking that for that trend all the way through. Was it easy being a woman in at the beginning? That even that parish council, did they make you feel comfortable and welcome, or was it a bit like Vicar of Dibley, rather left to one side?
No, I think they did make me feel comfortable and welcome, mostly, not without exception, and there have been some fairly unpleasant patches. Truro City Council was, I think they definitely thought that I was an anomaly and a bit peculiar, but they were very nice to me. And Gloucester was also interesting, and I got a lot of support. I mean, I've always had a lot of support from the Liberal Democrats, who were the party I stood for. Gloucester had its moments, but was largely very supportive. I mean, there's a consistent pattern, I think, that if you're if you're a young, blonde, slightly overweight woman, people tend not to take you terribly seriously. And sometimes that can be an advantage, because sometimes people underestimate you.
I'm speechless about the sort of statement that people make that. That doesn't happen today, though, does it? This is a journey.
I think it probably still does a bit. But less. And I'm sure there will be other people who will recognise that pattern.
I think that's possibly true. But I hope it's less than ever.
I'm not so young anymore, so maybe it's less.
I hope so. About the parties, I'm always interested. Were you always a Liberal Democrat? Were your family? Because you come from the Cornwall, which is part of the world that has been sort of dominated by the party over the years. Or did someone knock on the door and you thought, well, that's a good idea, and it happened to be a Liberal Democrat that first asked it? Because I've had leaders in the past. Jazz, who was my first interview, it was a Conservative that knocked on his door and said he should stand. And he said, no, if I stand, it'll be for the red team. And that Conservative then went to the Labour Party and said, you know, by the way, you should get Jazz down the road. How was your journey politically? Was it a natural thing, or been in the family? Or you were drawn to?
I think the fact that I was growing up in Truro, where the Liberal Democrats were the party running things and doing a lot, but also opposing the Conservatives, which I felt quite, I mean, I've always been quite interested in politics. And I grew up as a Thatcher's child and spent time as a kind of at school campaigning against cuts to education funding and things like that. And it's always been one of my passions, actually, funding education. So I think that was how I originally got involved, because we were a Liberal Democrat area, they were opposing the Conservatives, and it was a fairly natural and easy to get involved in Liberal Democrat campaigning in my hometown. And then when I moved to Gloucester with a young family, the local Liberal Democrat councillor did come and knock on my door because he saw that a member of the party had moved into the area. And came round very quickly and said, "Welcome, it's good to see you." And almost immediately was encouraging me to stand for the council, which actually at that time, with two young children, I really welcomed because it was my opportunity to get out and do something with grown-ups. I spent an awful lot of time with toddlers, and I really welcomed my evenings to go out and discuss planning and other things. So he was very quick to get me involved when we moved to a new place, and that was really helpful and important.
And again, I've got a feeling that you're a bit of a groundbreaker. When you were a young mum in Gloucestershire, did the council naturally know how to support you?
No, not really. No, it was quite it, there were elements. I mean, one of the things is that councils always have policies around paying for childcare and things, but their policies are completely impractical. And I think it's something that it continues to be the case. It's not necessarily something we've even cracked at the council that I now lead, that if you can get recompense for time when you're at meetings, you're only allowed to pay that to somebody who is a qualified childminder or a nursery. And you can't only get that childminder or nursery time for the very irregular times when the meetings happen. So the support that is available is deeply impractical and doesn't really reflect what's needed by people who would like to get involved and but have young children. And I was lucky enough to be able to sort of use my council allowances to pay for the childcare routinely every week, even though I was only able to claim it back for the times when I was actually in meetings. So I ended up, but it is a barrier to people who are in more difficult financial circumstances than I was. Although I have to say, at times I was also in difficult financial circumstances and it was a problem.
Yeah, and also I'm just thinking about carers. There's some great talents who are responsible for caring for members of their family and having time away for that.
Absolutely.
So as you also went to Southampton University, and you've led politics all the way through, haven't you, from a young age?
I didn't get involved in politics in Southampton very much, actually. It wasn't high on my agenda at that time. I was doing more music and other things, rowing.
So what was the aspiration originally? Was it politics was something you were interested in? But was it the ambition, or was there another ambition? The education, the.
Yeah, I don't. I certainly, when I left Southampton, and I mean, all the way through when I was in Gloucester and other places, I don't ever really think that I thought of politics as being something that I would do as a career. I always thought of it as an amusing thing that I did. Not, I mean, that's probably the wrong word. A thing that I did was interesting, and I was very interested in it, that brought in an income that was big enough to pay for some childcare so I could go and do something that I found interesting and get out of the house, as it were. But I had always assumed that when my children were a bit older, I would go back into teaching. I found, because I my when I was in Truro before I married and had children, I was a primary school teacher, and I loved being a primary school teacher, and I still love primary schools. They're wonderful places. But I found that when I had children who were primary school age, I couldn't be a good teacher all day of children of that age and then come home and be a good parent in the evening. So I felt that I needed to make sure that I had the time and patience to help my children with their homework. And therefore I needed to do things with grown-ups during the day, because otherwise I just kind of wore out that part of my being patient and nice side of me.
I'm quite intrigued that we're talking about councillors as grown-ups, and I think that's rather good.
Well, they definitely need a different kind of patience from 4 and 5 year olds.
But being a leader of a council is, and we'll hop about a little bit, but do you find sometimes that you are the head teacher, you are the with a group which you've got to steer? Because even the Liberal Democrats, all parties, there are people who are from one extreme to another within a group have strong opinions about certain subjects. I'm always intrigued. Very few people talk about the group dynamic in a political party. And that it's not just the leader who can just say, oh, let's go and do this. You've actually got to win the support of your group, or you won't have the support to be the leader. So did you find being a teacher helped you in any way? Or am I being rather naughty by suggesting that sometimes it's like herding children?
No, it is extremely useful. And the skills that you use managing a class are not that different from the skills that you use managing any group of individuals. And actually managing 36-year-olds is probably rather more difficult than managing 30 adults. Even if they're sometimes slightly difficult adults, they don't melt down and have tantrums in quite the same way. So, but the skills are often the same, and the making judgments about when to use your authority and when to be supportive, and when you need to just ask somebody to kind of can we just calm down a minute, and thinking about the dynamics within the groups and which people are friends with who and supporting whom. All of those things are relevant to council groups and to classes of children. And that's absolutely not to imply that council groups, they're just different groups of human beings, and they need care and support, and sometimes to be told this is what we're doing today and this is why we're doing it.
I totally understand. And it doesn't seem to be much different across all the parties. I did come to Sir Richard Leese on his ability to survive 25 years as managing his group. And he said, that's the first person who's actually said that to me about my career. Let's just briefly talk about being an MEP, because I want to focus much more on the role that you have today. When you went to Europe and you have stood for Parliament and everything else, how would you relate it to the world that you'd inhabited up to then of local government? Was it surreal? Did you feel detached? Did you enjoy it? Or did you feel, hold on a minute, this isn't my kind of politics?
I enjoyed it enormously, and I found it really inspiring, actually. As a Liberal Democrat, you'd expect me to be quite pro-European, but it gave me a hugely different insight into the power of the European Union as an institution, and the way in which the European Parliament brings different nations together in a quite extraordinary way, which I don't think happens anywhere else in the world or in any other institution. And I think is amazing, and we just don't talk about it enough. The thing that is really, really unusual about the European Parliament is that people from right across many, many different nations with extremely different kind of cultures and of different sizes, of different, very different languages, very different expectations, they all come together in this one parliament. And instead of sitting in their national groups, they sit in their political groups. So as a Liberal Democrat, I was always sitting next to people from Germany or Spain or Holland, Denmark, many different people. And therefore you begin to, because they become your group. Mm-hmm. So you become a team with a group of people who come from right across the European Union and come with very different expectations and political backgrounds, and that's a really powerful thing, and we just don't talk about it enough. And of course the European Union has its flaws, as any very large institution has flaws, but it has been the most extraordinary peace project, and you can absolutely see how that happens through that simple process of bringing people together and getting them to work as politicians, but not as national politicians, as politicians in political groups. Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. And also, I was always intrigued with the European Union that it had the Committee of the Regions.
Yes.
And I know that so many local government leaders were passionately involved with that for years and years and years, of all parties. I can think of a former leader at Tandridge who used to fly his private little plane over to Europe every month for the meetings. And I know that the former leader of Birmingham City Council was a passionate supporter of that organisation. And bringing, and I do think that there is a loss to us understanding what's being achieved in one country and how another country is dealing with a problem that is not dissimilar to what we're dealing with. I think we have lost a great resource.
Absolutely.
Coming into Cambridgeshire County Council, what a time to be the leader of such an organisation. I grew up in Bedfordshire, and Cambridgeshire has always been a big part of my life and the city and everything else. But it's a time when the challenges are there every day. And how have you found yourself in this role, and how do you see the challenges that are in front of you?
So it's an extraordinary privilege to represent Cambridgeshire and be the leader of that very beautiful place, as you say, and very interesting and exciting place in all sorts of ways. Cambridgeshire is one of the fastest growing regions in the whole of the UK, which brings extraordinary challenges as a leader of a council, because the funding always lags behind the number of people, because there are more people every year. But it is also an extraordinary opportunity. I mean, it's a fantastic place to live. And that's one of the reasons why lots of people want to come and live there. And there are huge challenges around that too, to do with water resources and other kinds of resources. But it is, it's been a wonderful place to bring up my family. And I would very much like to be part of making it a wonderful place for other people to be able to bring up their families with similar privileges, if that makes sense. It's a great place to be a young person, and we need to make sure that that continues. But it is difficult, and the recent cost of living challenge has made it much more difficult. We have so much. It's also a county with extraordinary levels of extreme poverty as well as extreme wealth. Cambridge itself is often referred to as one of the most extremely divided cities in terms of the wealth inequality. But the county is the same in that the south of the county tends to be quite wealthy, and up in the north of the county, in the Fens, there are some of the most deprived wards in the whole country. And thinking about how we manage that wealth inequality is a huge concern.
And what's really lovely is that Michael Gove loves Cambridge. It's a bit, I think of Ian McEwan's book, Enduring Love. I thought that was a nice thing until I discovered that it was about people being loved by people they didn't want to be loved by. And I think of Michael Gove for that reason. But Gove's intervention has really sort of put the cat amongst the pigeons on some way, because he's not giving you money, tons of money. He's just bringing a lot of attention. There is lots of opportunity. I drove around Cambridgeshire recently, and there's tons of exciting things going on. But has government's sudden fondness for Cambridge and Cambridgeshire been helpful, or how do you view that?
There are some elements of it which are helpful and where we need help. And the biggest one of those is the water issue, which we have been asking them to help with resolving for ages. And I think we've made some progress, but it's very small, and they haven't really fixed it at all. Just for people who are not aware, the issue is that Cambridgeshire is a very fast growing area. We've got very large numbers of houses being built there, much needed houses, because house prices in the area are astronomically high, and there is a huge growth potential there. The biomedical campus is growing really fast, and the people working there are doing amazing, fantastic research which is going to be of worldwide importance. So it's wonderful to have that, but we do need to make sure that people who want to come and work on the Genome Campus and people who are working with AstraZeneca on vaccines have somewhere to live. And we've got difficulties doing that because the aquifers, much of the water in the area comes from aquifers in the chalk hills, and the aquifers are being dried out, which will have eventually catastrophic impact on the environment in the area. So there are huge problems with water.
Is that a climate change issue, or is that just abuse of natural resources?
I think it's both.
Right.
I think it's there definitely are climate change issues, and there were a couple of years of very extreme drought. We've now had very extreme wet weather, and the whole place is flooded, which will, I hope, help fill up the aquifers for a little while. But the level of abstraction, the level of water being taken out of the system is not sustainable. And the Environment Agency therefore said there was to be no new house building until we'd got some resolution for it. And that's why we need the help from central government. And they've made tiny steps, but it's not enough. So from that point of view, we do need some help. But the extent of the kind of noise around it and all of the discussion about development corporations, it just feels like an awful lot of sound and fury signifying very little, actually. So that's not particularly helpful.
No, I can see that. And but what I'm also intrigued about is the political makeup of Cambridge is diverse.
It is.
And yet in that diversity, there's a sense of shared purpose. Am I misreading the organisations?
No, I think that's absolutely right. I think that there's a, having been conservative dominated for quite a while, there's a real sense. I mean, Cambridge obviously isn't, but the rest of the area has been. There has been a real willingness with among the non-conservative parties to work together. And that's been really creative and really, I think, has made all of us stronger. And we have worked really well together over the last 3 years with an increasing sense of purpose and direction, and that's really exciting. And there's the Cambridgeshire and Peterborough Combined
That's
Authority,
right.
which has has had its moments, and it's been an organization that, it's a relatively young organization that 3 years ago was not in a good place, but it is gradually developing a real sense of purpose, and it's quite exciting to see that happening actually.
That's very good. Your ambition. What's your ambition now that you've got this job, this role? I wouldn't know where to. How do you sort of tackle what is. Let's assume that water will be resolved, and that's a huge thing which government really has to get to grips with. But what's the ambition now that you're a big part of this opportunity in Cambridge?
So I mean, one of the things is to make sure that it's not just opportunity in Cambridge, that there's actually a real potential for the really amazing work which is being done in the biomedical campus in the area just to the south of Cambridge, to make sure that the really good quality of life that people have in some parts of Cambridgeshire, with the growth of Cambridgeshire, spreads to more people, so that more people have the opportunity to live and work in a place where they can cycle to school, cycle to university, get around without damaging the planet. There are really good models there that we need to make sure are being shared.
Yes, and thank you for picking me up about Cambridge, because Cambridgeshire is not just Cambridge.
No, it very much isn't.
And that was a foolish error by me, but thank you for that. The sort of final thing I wanted to sort of look at is local authority reorganisation. When I look at Cambridgeshire, I'm not sure that would help.
It's difficult to know. The governance in Cambridgeshire is a bit mad, and I don't think it's in a good place actually, because there are too many different layers doing too many different things. Well, and we have this thing called the Greater Cambridge Partnership, which does many of the same things as the Combined Authority, but the Greater Cambridge Partnership is due to come to a natural conclusion within the next 5 years, so that
There's
will
opportunities to improve
there are opportunities to improve. I think having many, many different organizations trying to do the same thing in the same place isn't always helpful.
No, I can imagine that. What would you say to your younger self, a young mother, maybe looking for some adult conversation in between looking after the family? Would you encourage that person to do what you've been doing and what you're doing now?
Yeah, I absolutely would. And it's something that I try and do is to encourage young parents to get involved in politics. I think my younger self never really thought that a career in politics was the kind of thing that I could do. And I think there are an awful lot of people who don't feel that it could be the kind of opportunity for them. And actually, the more people we have involved from lots of different backgrounds, the better our political decision making will be. So I'm glad I got involved, and I would definitely encourage other people to get involved because we need a more diverse local government picture.
We do indeed. Lucy, you've been absolutely lovely as a guest. And one last thing, parliamentary, would you still go for that? Or
Definitely not this time because I'm busy doing this, and I'm very happy doing this, actually. I really love what I do.
I think that's come across really brilliantly. Lucy, thank you once again for proving that there are really amazing and brilliant people running our local government every day.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
It's been a pleasure.